Tzavi Dal Amad Aleph. We have the focus in the Mishnah between Benanis and the Tanakama whether the fourth woman has to make a shur or not. And the Mora said that they're arguing in the case of a Baal Chayv Mu'ukher, which was Kodam and Gova. The Tanakama holds Masha Gova LeGova. So it comes out that the Revius can't walk away with that property anyway. So there's nobody she has to swear to. And Benana says that what she took. The earlier woman has the right to say she wants her to swear. That was the first explanation of what they're arguing in. And this is Shmuel. Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua. So the Mar continues and says, Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Baravua's pshat, Kuli Alma Mashagava Loi Gava. No, even Benanis agrees that a Baal Chayv Mu'ukher, which is Kodam Begava, it doesn't work. The field that they took was Meshubah to somebody else before them. They have to give it back. So if the second wife took a property, then the third wife took and the fourth wife took, then it turned out that what the property the second wife took did not really belong to the husband. The husband had it seemingly that it was his, and that was the perception, but really it wasn't. There's somebody proved that it was not his. It comes out that number four collected before number two, because number two's field that they got wasn't really a payment. It wasn't the husband's. So number four has to vacate, and number two gets the field. So what are we swearing about? So the question is this: that's not the machlokes. That they're arguing in B'hocho, that they're arguing in the case of B'chashirin Shema Tachzif K'miflagim. We're concerned. Maybe the number four will not deal with the property appropriately. Mar sabra chashinan shema tachsiv, and mar sabra lo chashinan shema tachsiv. So number four is saying, well, you know, I'm going to walk. The property is being relieved from me anyway. So I'm going to trash the field. I'm not going to take care of the field in any way. Appropriately. But if she has to swear, so we assume that she's going to be more careful about, she's going to take out, you know, we're afraid that they're going to try and take advantage of the field and just grab whatever she can before it's taken away from her, or not. So if she has to swear about it, that she has a right to it, she's going to be a little more careful with what she takes. And if she doesn't, she's going to be less careful. So the Tanakhama says we're not worried about that, her doing so. So there's no need for her to swear. And Benanis holds that we are worried about it, therefore she has to swear.
So, and then what is she swearing?
We're afraid that she's going to try and take the produce of the field before the field was taken away from her, given to the one, two.
Okay.
So she might overtake. She'll just take as much as she can, which will be equivalent to more than the value than she's supposed to get. So she's swearing that she has a right to certain amounts. She will be more considerate to exactly how much she's taking. So that's Rabbi Baravua's explanation. Abaye Omar, Abaye says a third explanation, that by Kshisha Ika Benahu, that they're arguing in the Kshisha means old. There was Abaye saying there was a person named Abaye, so the old Abaye, his halacha that he says, that's what they're discussing over here. What did he say? The Tanya, Abaye Kshisha quoted a braisa, and it says, Yisomim Sha'amu Gedolim, this halacha with that, it's a Yisomim, that you can't leave for the Bashua. When we say Yisomim, what are we referring to? Are we referring to even Yisomim which are Gedolim, or only Yisomim which are Katanim? So Abaye Kshisha brings a braisa which says, when we said that Habalim Parma Nisa Yisomim, any from Ela B'Shua, it's referring to Yisomim which are Gedolim. Vein Tzarech Lomar Ketanim, and obviously it applies to Yisomim which are Ketanim. So, which means if they were Ketanim at the time of the Misa of the father, so the father has not given them any information. So even now they're Gedolim, that they have a din of Ketanim. But if at the time the father died they were Gedolim, we could have argued that, you know, the father could have or should have given them information about what his arrangements are. And if they're not asking for the Shua themselves, Bez is not going to automatically impose a Shua. So Abaye Kshisha says no. Even in the case of Gedolim, that Gedolim and Nitzay Aviyim have a status of Ketanim, because they don't necessarily have that discussion, and therefore we're Mechayev Shua. So it's Hadakama less laid the Abaye Kshisha, and Benanas is laid the Abaye Kshisha. So the Tanakama says, no, it's only by Ketanim, like Rashi pointed out to the Mishnah, and the Tanakama is going like the opinion that if the Yisomim are Gedolim, there's no din of the swearing before we collect from their property. And Menana says there is. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Rashi from the top of the page. One of the fields of the have been collected by one of the first three wives is Sada Shana Shaloi. Now it was Nispar that field was a stolen field, that the husband had that field illegally. And therefore the true owner is now going to come and retrieve it. Okay, because Shabbat Revius, Ligmas Subasa, Misad Revius. So now when number four comes to collect from the fourth field, Boazu, so this woman whose field that she has is not truly a valid payment, because it's not really, it wasn't really the husband's. But Metis, she's here to say, Lamer, she says, Lamacher Yabaha Nigzel Miyito Sadeo Miyadi. Soon, the true owner of the field is going to take that field away. And him says, Karakas, I'm left bald, I'm left without any payment. So, you've taken this field. Ritzoni shetishboi shlo gavis ksubaseich b'chayabal. So you want to take this field, but maybe you were paid already, and you have the right to this field. So I want you to swear that you have a right to this field. So what's the machlokes about? In the case where a person who had a later chayv went and took the field before one who had an earlier chayv. So the average case was they just went and chopped it. But over here, number four is coming to take the property. Number two has a property, or number three has the property, but it's going to turn out that they're going to lose their property soon in a way that it was disbarred, that it wasn't really a payment. So it comes out, in for all practicalities, number four collected before number two. So number four will take the property, and number two loses the property. We'll kick number four out and give it to number two. So number two has no right to make number four swear because, like, at the end of the day, number four becomes irrelevant. If it's true that the nigzel eventually does come and take number the fields from number two, taxer yalla revius, she'll go to number four. She'll take away what number four took. To have the revius balchayv mocher because number four is a later balchayv. And then, but not a summer mashu gava gava. Rashi's an example. Be number, let's say number three was the one who had the fields, which was stolen. So the number three cannot retrieve the field from number four. But she should, then she has a right to make her swear. That is Shmuel's explanation. Rabbi Avua says the Kuliyama Mashagava Loigava. The property will be taken away from number four. So then, if so, the Tanakhama makes sense. Why should number four have to swear? How is number four negatively impacting number two that, or number three, that they should make her swear? Shu the Menanas time in Mai Kesav Chashin and Shema Taxin for Revius Hazois is a Soda Shehi Goyva. So we're worried about her not maintaining the field properly. When she sees that she doesn't have to swear, she realizes the Hadra Shlishi is Iluya Kishli Umasha Biyada. So that the earlier woman whose field is now in danger of being taken away is going to come and take away the field that the Revius has. So she chaps that the lack of Shua is because she's not keeping this field. So once that's true, she's not going to maintain the field appropriately with, you know, whatever the being mashpiach appropriately. She's just going to grab quickly as much as she can get out of the field. So therefore, but if she swears, she believes that she's going to maintain her rights to the field, so she will take care of the field appropriately. Tarkam is not worried about that. Okay. Then Abai said, the Abai Kshisha Ikabinayu. Over here, it's not that the other women are asking her to swear, but rather the Yisem are asking her to swear. It's nothing to do with the previous case. It's a simple case that they're coming to collect. And this over here is the Yisamim. Does she have to swear because of the Yisamim? Yisamim Shamru. That which you said, the people who come to collect from Yisamim must swear. Af Gedolim Amr, that applies to what the email of the Yisamim are Gedolim. So the Gemara, Omer Rav Huna, Hani Trei Achi Trei Shutvi, either two brothers or two Shutvim. The Islu Dino Bahari Chad, they have a claim against somebody. Also Chad Minayu Badei Ludino, and one of the two partners was the one who went to court. So, what's the Iduk Lememrele? They lost in court. So let the other Shutev argue. I at la bal the rav the diat, you should have went to court. So should have B wants to say to should have A, I didn't ask you to be my bal dover. You didn't represent me, and I'm going to go to court my own, and let's see, maybe I'll win against him. So you can't say that. El shlichusei Ovid, since he's going to represent the shutvis, so he has the power of the shutvis. Okay. Ishtemor says, Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. So Rav Nachman arrived in Surah. Shailuhi Ki Hagav Mamai. So they asked Rav Nachman this question, what's the halacha in such a case? Do we assume that the shutif is representative of the shutvis, it's binding on all of the shutvis? Some of the humas nisin he. I can derive it from our Mishnah. Rishonim nishbas l'shniyot, v'shniyot l'shlishis, v'shlishis l'raviyas, v'ilu rishonim l'shlishis loy ketoni. So that it doesn't say in the Mishnah that the Rishonah has to swear to the shlishis. My time up. What's the pshat? Lav, isn't it because Mishum the Shlichusa of the that number two is automatically representing number three, and number three can't say that maybe number two didn't present her claims in the appropriate way, and had she done so, I would have been able to force A to admit that she's really been paid and has no right to collect. Where it says midomi, hasam shul echad shul lemeya. Over here, the tvi is not a real tvi in Bezin because they have no knowledge. All it is a request for a shua. Once you swear, you swore. So there's no difference when she swears to number two. Someone says, "Well, I don't trust the shua. Me don't trust the shua. Bezin accepted the shua. It was a shua. It was given through Bezin appropriately. So you cannot say." You could argue, I would have made different arguments, but there's no argument over here because nobody knows anything. Hoko, but over here, let the second partner, Omar, the second partner says, Ilu Amnoa Havoy, if I had been there, Tanina Tve, I would have said a better argument. So the issue over here is, why is he bound by the incompetence of the first shutif? So that you can't prove that from the Mishnah. Okay. So the Mora says, and therefore the Mora seems to be arguing that in Surah they argued that no, the second partner is not bound by the psak given to the first partner. Because on the Mora, below the Mora, the Lord Isa b'Mosa. But this, that is true, that the second partner is not bound by the first partner, is because in only case he did not have an opportunity to go to Bezdin. But if he was in the city, he's in town, so he should have come and presented his arguments. And if he chose not to, that means he's agreeing that whatever the first partner does in Bezdin will be binding. Okay, Zog Rashi. Trei Achi v'Trei Shutvi, or Trei Shutvi means two brothers or two Shutvi, not and. So they had a court case against somebody, and one of them went to court. But the Bar Shutvi said something about the Shutvi. So Yotza Shutvi Chayim, and the Shutvi lost. So Lamotzi Shutvi Chaver, Lamemer Lebaldin. The other Shutvi can't say to the Baldin, I wasn't a party to that first case. And the other imcha bechelki, I'm going to go to court on my own chelik. He did not represent me.
I don't know why Beis Din doesn't require some type of, star saying that, I authorize my partner to, appear on my behalf. And otherwise, basically we'll say, look, this is, you're only part of the shutfas. I want the whole shutfas.
Interesting question. I mean, I think the assumption that when he comes in is that he's there representing the shutfas. If you understand shutras, each person has full. Each person owns full ownership. And before you divide a shutras, the pshat is each person. Each shutra has full ownership in everything. It's not that he owns half; he owns everything partially. So his arguments, he has full rights to argue for the shutras. It's not a case of a harshah. The issue here isn't the harshah issue. The issue here is maybe just he's incompetent. Normally, if a person comes in and making a claim, he's making a claim of $1,000. He really has only rights to $500. So the person representing the other $500 is not here. So then you need a harshah. But shutras is that he has full rights to the claim and to the money, which he then has to divide with somebody. But he has full claim of his own, so he's coming mitveya. So he wouldn't need a harshah mitzad that. The question may be just simply he's incompetent. Well, we would assume that if the other shutra was worried about it, he should have arranged that. Okay. V'ilu rishara l'shisha l'katani, the tishava, she doesn't have to swear to the number three, the fisha shenishba, because she swore already. More says that's not a good comparison. Really, the other shutra can go to court again. However, that which he has a right to go back and redo the case. He wasn't in town. So you say, okay, so he's not bound, but he was in town and then he chose not to show up. So he's basically agreeing that whatever the shutif who did come to court, whatever he presents and whatever the psak is binding upon him all as well. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara, Itmar. Beish Torus Hayotzim B'Yomechot. There's two people making the same claim to a piece of property. So let's say Reuben is the owner of the field, and Shimon and Levi both come to Beis Din with a shtar that they bought the field. So Reuben sold the field twice. To Shimon and to Levi, both on the same day. So they have the same date. So obviously if the shtar shows that he sold it to Shimon on one day and he sold it to Levi later, so the true sale is to Shimon, and Levi he fooled Levi, and Levi will have to go back and make recourse against the one person who swindled him. But the case is they're both dated on the same day, so we have no validity to one over the other. So what do we do? Yeah. So what do we do? So Rav Amar Chalkin. So Rav says that we divide the field. Both have a valid claim to the field. And it's the equivalent in some sense of Shneimarks and Metalis, so each one gets half of the field. Shmuel Amar Shudda D'Daini. Shmuel says, literally, it's where the Dayanim throw it. The Dayanim have a right to choose who to give the field to.
Can they split it?
Can they? Who's they?
The Dayanim.
No. He holds that splitting it, by definition, every pshar by definition is false. So that's false. And over here, Bezin says, Mechaz Rashi and Toises, not over here. Shudara means that Bezin has full rights to do whatever they feel, whatever they feel. 50-50 chance that they got it right. Or it means that they try and use things which normally would not be binding in a law, but they're trying to estimate the probabilities who was truly the true owner. But according to that, means if they would have nothing to go on, so then they just be mesalik and say kol dol megavar, we have nothing to go on, or no, they're empowered to give it to whoever they decide they want to give it to. Rashi says that they get to. Rashi says that they, if I call correctly, Rashi says that it's based on trying to estimate who they think was really logically the true owner. Tyson says, Shulzad is that they're empowered totally to do whatever they see fit. If I recall correctly, that's the two side, that's how the two side opinions play out. Versus, okay. So let's argue like this. Maybe the pshat is like this. When Rav says chaluka, he's not saying chaluka misaf, he's saying chaluka mitambada. How is that? Lema Rav damer kara meir. We can argue that Rav is going like your meir shita. Damer edich hasim akarti. So when you have a shtar, what generates the halachic validity and status of the shtar? The fact that there are edim signed in it. That's the edis. So the rights to the field in this scenario are based on the edis of the shtar. So the edis of the shtar, both of them are only effective as much as the shtar says, and the shtar doesn't prove anything more than the last moment of the day. So at the last moment of the day, both shtars took effect at the same time. So if they both took effect at the same time, there were two halakhically valid claims for the field. So each one would get part of the field. But Shmuel, Damer Kirbalazer, Damer Eli Masira Karti. Shmuel holds a Kirbalazer, the holds that the true power of a shtar is only when it's given in front of Edim. So truthfully, the Edim, which witnessed the Masira Hashtar, one of them was given earlier than the other. And the Edim who saw that knew that. So the shtar is empowered from an earlier time. So only one person is truly the owner. So you shouldn't do chaluka. So we're trying to figure out who do we think was the one they truly gave it to earlier, the one which is truly the one that was the true sale.
Why do you have to say that if it's Eidich Sima cards that it's the end of the day?
Because they're being made. Mitoch Haksav. The Eidich Sima are being made what they've signed on. And since, based on what is written here, we cannot prove anything more than it was there at the last moment of the day, because we can't prove anything more than that based on what it's written there. So what they've been made on is just what the shtar says. The shtar says the last moment, because the shtar is not made on anything more than the last moment of the day.
So even if we brought in all these... Edom.
It wouldn't make a difference because we would bring Edom Masira that it was given earlier, but that's not the power of the shtar is only what it says. That's what the Edom Chasima, the Edom which are made, B'toch HaKsav, what it says in the shtar, are just made at best that there was some time that it was at the last moment. Is it typical to have Edom Chasima and Edom Masira? Well, according to Meir, you don't need any Masira. According to Belazer, you don't need any Chasima. But any scenario where you do any Masira, the Gemara says there was a Takana to make any Chasima, because any Masira are vulnerable, they could die or leave. So whereas 80 chesima, so the question is, according to Balazs, now, so what, there's a tachana, so how does it work? If 80 mesira is truly the ones which work, what does it help having 80 chesima? So that's up for a major discussion how it works. But, so it was very common to have 80, according to Balazs, you would have 80 mesira and 80 chesima commonly. Yeah. The Morris says, no. The Tuliyama Kerbalazar, every holds a Kerbalazar, that Eidim Masira Karti, and therefore, really, theoretically, one person really got it first. Rav Sever Chaluka Adifa, Shmuel Sever Shuda Adaini Adifa. In a case we have a Sofik, what is the appropriate thing for Basin to do? So Rav says Chaluka is better, therefore, the true owner gets at least half. And Shmuel says, the true owner, the non-true owner also gets a half, which is wrong. Where Shuda has an advantage, you might have given the full amount to the appropriate person. Okay. Let's hold it here.